Good to be with you as we start this new year. I was having a conversation with my neighbor this week, and he said to me, you know, Happy New Year. I hope this one is better. And of course, that opens the door to, you know, well, what took place? And we ended up having a conversation about some of the challenges and struggles that he had in 2022. And I don't know if you're sitting here glad that 2022 is over or you had a good year in 2022, but as we mark our calendars, we begin a new year. And let's begin as we start our time together in God's Word by praying together. Would you pray with me? Can I encourage you to look back over the past year and just right now express some gratitude to God that no matter what this past year was for you, there are always reasons to give thanks, and I want to encourage you just to quietly do that for a moment right now. And now as you look ahead into a new year, as we are here on this first day of 2023, what is it that you want to lift up to God as you start this year? Go ahead and take a moment to do that as well. Fathers, we flip the page on a calendar. It's a marking of time. And we are creatures who live in time. It's all that we know. We have a past. We look back and we have a present, a right now, and we have a future that we look forward to that is filled with things we might hope for, but also certainly unknowns. We don't know the future. And to come to a God who created time, who is outside of it and sees everything all at once, it makes my head spin. And yet it also comforts me, Father. There is nothing that's going to surprise you this year. There's nothing that's going to catch you unawares. There's nothing that you're unprepared for. In fact, behind the scenes many times, in ways that we can't see or don't know, you are actually guiding history to the conclusion that you've already determined for it. God, we thank you that for those of us who know you and know your Son Jesus as our Savior, we understand that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That our time of exiting out of time and out of this world means that it just gets better. So thank you for that hope that we all can look forward to. And in whatever time you give us on this earth, help us to take advantage of every opportunity. Lord, to continue to seek to live in a way that gives you honor and glory and that influences other people around us to know this God and to follow this God, even as we seek to do so ourselves. So thank you that you would invite us into a relationship with yourself. Thank you that you would give us your Spirit to live within us, to empower us to live the way you've called us to live. Thank you for your word that we're going to look at right now, which is your truth to us. We can rely on it. We can build our lives upon it, knowing that it is a firm foundation. We thank you for all of these things. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, as we've been saying, it is a new year, and as New Year's rolled around, it's often a time for setting goals and thinking about what you're going to be doing in this coming year, and maybe you've already been thinking about that. I don't know if you're a goal setter. How many of you are goal setters? Like, this is a time where you evaluate and think through things and set some goals? Okay, not very many of you. So, okay, just keep rolling right along in 2023, right? Yeah. I think of a comic strip that I remember, and I never remember where it came from, but I always remembered the idea, and it was a comic strip. As I researched it, I thought it was Peanuts. I thought it was Charlie Brown, but it wasn't, actually. It was a comic strip from the 1960s called Brother Juniper, And this comic strip struck me as we talk about setting goals. And when asked how he hit the bullseye every time, his answer, he was shooting arrows at a fence. And he was asked by somebody who was there, how do you hit the bullseye every time? He said, it's easy. First shoot your arrow, and then you just take your paintbrush and you, right? Right? When we do it that way, it's always easy to hit our goal, right? You just shoot first and then, you know, create the goal afterwards. And I think, honestly, that's probably a way many of us approach life. And I don't mean in a violent way of shooting arrows, but we go through life shooting our arrows, but we're not really sure where they're going or what we're trying to hit or what's going on. And sometimes it helps to be intentional to say, no, I want to hit something this year. And I don't just want to hit something and then draw the circle around it. I want to actually have a target, and I want to move towards that target. And I think that's a healthy thing. We do that in so many areas of our lives. If you're in school, you do that in school. You have goals of potentially getting good grades so that you can move on to the next year or next education that you want or the job. Or if you have a job, I'm sure you have goals in your job, in your workplace, maybe financial goals or achievement goals, whatever it may be. So many different areas of our lives, we do set goals and we work towards those goals. And it's good, I think, as followers of Jesus, it's a good practice for us to do. Motivational speaker Zig Ziglar said it this way, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. And so we want to aim at something and something that is significant. So I do want to talk this morning about setting some goals and challenge you to think through some things that you would pursue in your life in 2023, particularly in your walk with Jesus. So I'm not necessarily talking about the weight loss goals or the financial goals. Those are great things. They're wonderful things. And many times we need to pursue some of those as well. But what I really want to talk about is your relationship with Jesus and how you can continue to pursue that. So the passage I'd like us to look at this morning is Philippians chapter 3. So if you have a way to look at scripture, I really want to encourage you to go ahead and do that with me this morning as we look at this passage. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians as he did many of the letters in the New Testament. And if you know anything about his life, one of the things you could say about Paul, and his name originally was Saul, ended up being changed to Paul, he was a highly motivated guy. He was a highly motivated guy. Early on in his life, he had risen through the ranks of the religious system that he was in and become one of the most promising young stars, we might say. And so he was given quite a bit of authority and power, and he used that to, in a way, to hunt down the opposition, to seek to remove anything that would get in the way of his religious system. And the key one that he focused on was Christianity. These people who thought that Jesus was actually the Messiah, the promised one, who had actually risen from the dead. He did not believe that, and so he went after those who did, trying to silence them so that that message would go away. God eventually met him one day on a road as he was traveling to actually do that in a particular city and radically transformed his life, changed him. He began to understand that the God he thought he was serving, he wasn't. And as this God gets his attention and invites him into relationship and says, I've got a job for you, now Paul takes that energy and that motivation and he puts it into a different direction. And for the rest of his life, he dedicates his life to letting other people know about this God that he was trying to silence those who were talking about him before. And that's what he does. And yet he does it with an awareness. And I love this. And perhaps because of his past and the things that he had done, which were constantly perhaps in his mind, he's motivated by this love that Jesus has for him. I think he doesn't quite understand it. He often struggles with how could Jesus love me this much when I was persecuting people who loved him? And he lives with this awareness that Christ loves him so much, and that motivates him to do what he does. But he's also aware of the forgiveness that was provided him by Christ that he so desperately needed. And he writes about that on a regular basis. He's a man who's highly motivated to go after what he knows God wants for him, but with this awareness that he is a man who is in need of a Savior and in need of forgiveness. That's a great place to be. Don't let your past hold you back from going forward in your relationship with Jesus. But at the same time, our past can be a helpful reminder of what God has done in our lives. So let our past spur us forward, not hold us back. And as we turn the page of a calendar, maybe that's something you need to hear. Maybe there's some things in 2022 that are holding you back, things that have happened or things that you're struggling with. And you need to turn the page and say, okay, God, I can't change this circumstance or this situation, but I'm not going to let it be a wall that keeps me from moving forward in my relationship with you. I'm not going to get stuck. And so let's continue to make a commitment to move forward in our relationship. And in Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about those who boast about kind of their religious situation, so to speak. And it was a system that he'd been plugged into. And there were many good things about the system, but the system had become this system of rules and regulations. And there's no grace involved. And there's a lot of, you have to do these things, and that's what gets you in with God. And he had turned and moved away from that, understanding the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. But in the chapter, he talks about, you know, there are those who boast about their heritage. I could do the same thing, he says. And he begins to recount his heritage. And he talks about being circumcised on the eighth day, which was an important part of his religion growing up. He was of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, Pharisee. As for zeal, motivation, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. He had the pedigree. I mean, he's got it, nailed it down. But then in verse 7, he says this, but whatever were gains to me, those things were looked at as the epitome, but now I consider loss for the sake of Christ. Those things don't matter to me anymore because I found something better. I found someone better. Someone better to follow, someone who's ready to forgive and has a purpose for my life that will give benefit not just in this life, but for eternity, for myself and for others. That's who I follow. Verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss. Why? Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And what he's saying here is, I look at everything around me and compared to, not that everything around me is bad, but compared to knowing Jesus and having that relationship and moving forward in that relationship, none of the rest of this really matters. None of the rest of this matters. He considers it loss. Knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He's given up a lot. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. And here he makes this distinction. I'm not in a religious system anymore. I don't buy into this. I have to meet these standards and be this good and fulfill these requirements. No, now I've come to understand that I can never meet God's requirements fully. And I need his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. And that message is one that Paul will teach all the way to the day of his death. And then in verse 10, he really tells us his goal. This is what he wants. This is what he's looking for. And he says, I want to know Christ. And we may say, well, Paul, you do know Christ. You met him on the road. You know him. You're a follower of Jesus. And yet there was something about this relationship that Paul keeps saying, I want more. I want more. I want to know Christ better. I want to go further in this relationship. I want to go deeper. And then he describes what that means. Because you might say, yeah, who wouldn't want that? That would be wonderful. That would be great. But Paul understands that knowing Christ, really connecting with him, being unified him, going further in that relationship, he says, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. Yeah, I want to know that power that rose Jesus from the dead. I want to see that and experience that in my life. We would all say, yeah, we'd love to see that. We would love to see that. But he goes on and he says this, and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. He understands that going further in your relationship with Jesus, you're going to get to see God do some amazing things, but you're also going to experience some hard stuff. Because following Jesus doesn't keep us from suffering. In fact, it leads oftentimes to that. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead, Paul's ultimate goal of knowing that that's what God has for him. And then in verse 12, he says this, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And in these three verses is really where I want to focus. He talks about he hasn't obtained, he hasn't arrived, he hasn't taken hold of. You know, we might look at Paul and say he would be one of our potentially highest models or examples of following Jesus. Highly committed, God using him in powerful ways, aware of his flaws and failures, right? And yet here he's saying, I want to go further. I want to go more. I'm not satisfied with where I am. I want to keep pressing on in this relationship with Jesus. He knows there's still ground to cover. He knows there's still work to be done. Many times we've said here, if you're not dead, you're not done. And it's true. If God has us here on this earth, we have work to do for him. We have others to influence towards following Jesus. We ourselves can continue to go deeper in our relationship with him before we get to the point of that becoming perfect when we get to heaven. And so knowing that he's not fully there yet, that there's still ground to cover, he presses on. He strains. It's the idea that this is not going to be easy. It requires effort on our part. Going further with Jesus is not just, you know, we come to know Jesus, we accept him as our Savior, put the Bible under our pillow, and every morning we wake up more like him. Right? That's just not how it works. It does take effort on our part. And yes, God's Spirit meets us in that effort. It's not all on our shoulders. Thank God, he helps us to go forward in our relationship with him. So I want to be clear, it's a joint effort. We both are involved in this, but God's Spirit won't just do it for us, but we can't do what God's Spirit alone can do. So there's this partnership that needs to take place in moving forward. It's not going to be easy. And then he says, this is how I approach it. I forget what is behind. I don't let my past become an anchor that holds me still. I don't let my past become a block. I don't get stuck. I want to keep moving forward. You know, sometimes we can get stuck living life like we're driving forward but looking in our rearview mirror all the time. If you ever try to drive only looking in your rearview mirror, that's probably not going to go well, right? And yet sometimes we try to live life that way. We want to go forward, but all we can do is keep looking behind us at what's happened. And sometimes we need to stop looking in the rearview mirror. Are there things we can learn from those experiences? Absolutely. Do we need to remember in the sense of saying, God, thank you for your grace and forgiveness or strength or whatever it is he provided in those experiences? Absolutely. But we cannot let those things keep us from moving forward in our relationship with Jesus. So Paul's saying, I'm going to let go of those things and I'm going to strain toward what is ahead. I'm going to set my eyes, my focus, and my energy on continuing to move forward. And then verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal. Twice in this passage, verse 12, verse 14, he talks about a goal. He hasn't arrived at his goal. He presses on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I love that. It's this idea of he wants to go forward towards a goal, knowing that as he moves forward, there's a prize that Jesus has for him. And he also knows that God called him so that he can, God took hold of him is the idea, so that he can take hold of what God designed him for. So God comes along and says, Paul, I'm grabbing a hold of you and I want to set you in this direction so that you can go and grab hold of what I have for you in this life. And that's the same for us. We may not have had a Damascus Road experience with a bright light and a voice. But if you're a follower of Jesus, at some point you made a decision to say, I'm going to follow this God that I don't fully understand and honestly sometimes does things that I don't like. But I trust that he has a perspective that I don't have. And what I do know is that he gave his life for me on a cross when he didn't need to do that. He came to earth in what we just celebrated as Christmas and took on humanity and humbly lived a life that was perfect, a perfect model and example. But it wasn't just about that. It was about his death and his resurrection for what that accomplished for us. So that's who I'm choosing to follow, right? I've taken hold of God. He's taken hold of me. But then he has something for me in this life. And I want to move towards it. I don't want to not fulfill what it is that Jesus has for me. You know, we have a goal as followers of Jesus that is the same. in the sense of we are all called, in the way we say it here at Davisville, to influence people to fully follow Jesus, to make disciples, to follow Jesus and help other people follow Jesus is maybe a very simple way to put it. That's the ultimate goal for all of us as followers of Jesus while we're on this earth. It starts right in our own families, and it goes out from there, right? As we influence others. But the way that looks for each of us is going to look very different. And so we have to be careful that we don't look at one person and say, well, man, I don't do it just like that person does. That may not be the way God's calling you to do it. So don't get caught up in the how. Just make sure you're doing the what. Do what God's called you to do, but do it in the way that he's designed you to do it. He took hold of you to fulfill his purpose in a very particular way. And that gets really exciting when we begin to see that. And we begin to see that the experience that God's given us and the things that God's given us abilities and talents in and our personalities and all those things come together to make a unique package that God says, I've exactly put you together that way so that you could go after this goal in this way. And that's what I want for you. That's what I want for you. We had a speaker here a couple of weeks ago, Kevin King, one of our missionaries, serves in New York City. And he talked about the idea of not just being hearers, but those who hear and, do you remember what the other part was? Obey, right. So we don't just hear, we hear and do something with it. We, oh, okay, that's the goal. That's great. No, we actually say, okay, how are we going to go after that goal? Right? And that's what I want us to wrestle with a little bit this morning. James said it this way, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So, what's your goal? What are you pursuing in 2023 that will move you forward in your relationship and effectiveness for Jesus? Now, I know this whole idea of setting goals can be somewhat intimidating, you know, and how do we go about that? And so let me just offer a couple of things to maybe help narrow it down or focus what your goal would be. I'm not going to tell you what your goal should be. I think that's something as we'll see as we go through the message. You need to spend time with God figuring that out, so to speak. But I can at least maybe give you some guidance in this process. So let me encourage you to ask four goal questions. So when you're thinking about making goals, ask these four questions about your goal that you're making. Number one, is my goal spirit-directed? And what I mean by that, is it a goal that God wants? Now, that may seem somewhat obvious, like, well, of course that's what we... But sometimes, if we're honest, we're going after goals, and when we evaluate them, we're like, I'm not really sure. I don't think God really wants this. It's just something I want, so I'm going to go after it. Now, that doesn't necessarily make it bad, okay? But let's spend some time with God saying, God, what is it that you would want of me this year? And spend time listening. And just letting him speak to our minds and spending time in his word, maybe reflecting on Philippians 3 this week and just reading it over and over and saying, God, help me to see what is my next step? What is it that you want? Let him direct it. And then we put our energies toward it. If we come with a heart that's willing to obey, I believe God will guide us. He will give us that direction. Sometimes we come to him and we say, show me where you want me to go. But my heart is like, well, let me see what that is, and then I'll decide if I'm going to do it. And God really comes to us and he says, look, am I the king of your life or not? And so that means if I show you something you want, it's not about if, it's just about how. Let's go. This is where we're going to go. Secondly, is my goal personal? We tend to make goals for other people. How do I know this? Because sometimes if you've sat next to somebody in church and I or somebody has said something, you go like this, did you hear that? And what you mean is, that was for you. You need to adjust in light of what that person just said. God is speaking to you. I'm sure of it, and I'm going to tell you that, right? We're good at having goals for other people. You should do that. I've said those words myself. And somebody says, well, do you do that? You should do that, right? But we need to make it personal. God, what is it you want from me? And here's where, you know, as much as that might be humorous to think about, like sometimes we say, well, I have a goal for my family. That's great, but what if the other family members aren't on board? So you might say, Mike, I want my family to move in this direction. So what's my goal to help make that happen? That's what I'm saying. It's good to want to guide your family in a certain way or see, you know, a relationship maybe move in a positive direction, a spirit-directed direction, but what's my role in that? God, help me to understand that. Is my goal specific? Is my goal specific? Is it something that I can, when I say it, I know if I've achieved it? And that's the last question, actually. Is it measurable? If it's not specific, it's probably not going to be measurable, right? So let me use something that's common that we might, especially with the new year, if you think about maybe increasing your exercise or something like that as a healthy lifestyle, you may say, you know, I'm going to be more physically active in 2023. That's a great goal, right? But that's not specific. What are you going to do to be physically more active? Are you going to go for walks? Are you going to go to the gym? Like, what are you going to do to increase your physical activity? Make it specific, because once you make it specific, now you can know if you've achieved it or not. And that's the measurable part, right? If I actually say I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a week, or I'm going to take a walk 4 days a week, at the end of the week, I can go through and say, did I go to the gym 3 times a week? Did I take a walk 4 times a week? And if you didn't, okay, you know, then readjust and get back to it. Don't beat yourself up about it, but at least you know if you're moving forward in that goal. There's some way to measure what it is that you're trying to do. So, is my goal spirit-directed? Is it personal? Is it specific? Is it measurable? Those are some helpful ways for us to evaluate our goals and have a better chance, I think, of moving forward and achieving some of them. But what area should our goals be in? And when we talk about following Jesus, again, there's a spirit-directed part to this. So I want to encourage you to go back to that. But one of the things that I've been thinking through in my own life is we talk about 5 practices. We just did a series here at Davisville about our 5 practices. So if you're fairly new to the church, maybe you don't know that our mission statement is influencing people to fully follow Jesus. Under that, we have 3 core values that we want to live by: generosity, community, and maturity. Those are 3 things that guide us in our decision-making. They're core values. We value them and we want to live them out. And then under that, we have 5 practices of what it means to be a part of the church, specifically here at Davisville. And we talked about these. And these 5 practices, I think, are a great place to say, okay, what are my goals going to be in these 5 areas? Maybe it's a place to start. I'm not saying it has to be limited to this, but you might want to say, okay, let me walk through these 5 words and see, okay, God, what might you want in each of these 5 particular areas? So I'm going to give them to you. If you don't remember them or have them, if you want to write them down and use that as kind of a grid to work through, I would encourage you to do that. The first one that we talked about is the idea of connect. What am I going to do this year in order to connect with other people in meaningful relationships? Because remember, we can impress people from a distance, but we really only can influence or impact them up close. And that's through relationship. So what am I doing in my life to foster relationship? Are there some areas where I need to take some steps in this particular area? Potentially, you know, are you in a life group? Could you join a life group this year? Some kind of smaller group of people where you could really build community and relationships. Maybe it's in other ways that you know of, or maybe there's a particular relationship that you know you need to spend some effort and work on, and you're praying that God will use you in that relationship. Maybe with a neighbor, what would be a step this year with a coworker or a neighbor just to spend more time with them, invite them to dinner or do something with them? I don't know what it is for you. Again, what's God directing you to do in this area of connect and making meaningful relationships? The idea of gather, just coming together and gathering for worship on a regular basis. What might be your goals in that regard? You know, maybe for some of you, if you've been home, and I'll talk to those who are online, maybe you're sitting here watching today and you kind of never got back into coming to church after COVID, and you're kind of thinking there's no real reason we're here, it's just convenient. And that's great, I understand, but we want you here. We would love to see you here. Maybe part of your goal could be, let's go be part of the community again, and that would be a wonderful thing. You know, maybe it's about making this a place where you commit to being on a regular basis, and maybe even serving that bleeds over into another one on a Sunday and being involved in that way. But what does it mean to gather together? And when I gather, what does that look like? How do I participate? Do I come ready to hear from God? Am I coming with a heart ready to obey him? Am I ready to participate through worship and song and things like that? Or am I just kind of fulfilling a duty? What could change in that regard? We talk about learn, this idea of consistently feeding our minds with God's truth so that we consistently learn what he wants of us so that we can do it. And there's lots of ways you can do that here at Davisville and outside of Davisville. And we have a class coming up that starts next week that we're teaching Grasping God's Word. We've been doing it for years. And if you're unsure how to approach the Bible and really seek to understand it, read it and understand it, come join us. You know, it's like a college level class. We're going to ask you to do some works, mostly reading and just working through passages. That's all we're going to do together. But it's a great way to prepare yourself to learn yourself. So that you're not just fed by other people. I think there's value in that. I learn when Matt or Bobby are up here, others are teaching, and hopefully you're learning when any of us are giving you what God's word has to say. But what does it mean to be able to learn how to do it for yourself is a great tool to be able to have. So what would be a step for you in the learn category this year? Give is another one that we talk about, practice. And yes, we do mean primarily financially. There's a lot of ways to give, but here we're kind of zeroing in on the financial aspect. So what would be a question you could ask? Okay, God, what would you want as a next step for me with my financial resources? That's just an open-ended question, but ask and say, okay, God, what may it be? Is there a plot prize student you would want to support? Is there a giving to the church ministry here that you'd want to increase or start doing so that you could say, hey, I want to use some of my financial resources to increase what God is doing both here in my community and around the world? What does that next step look like for you? And then lastly, serve, just to be involved in using your time and your abilities, certainly within the church ministry here, but not just here. There's lots of ministries that are going on outside the walls of Davisville that you can be a part of. You know, we've got a Reach Sports season coming up in just a couple of weeks or about a month. It's going to kick off and get started. And what a great opportunity to volunteer, just to be around kids, do devotionals, and do some things that are really helpful. And there's so many other ways that you can get involved in serving. Again, both in our community and within the church. What might be your next step? Now, let me caution on this one, because there's some of you, as soon as I say that, you're like, yeah, I need to do more. No, you don't. Some of you don't need to do more, because you're shortchanging your family. You're shortchanging your own relationship with God, because you're doing too much. You're stretching yourself too thin. So for those of you who feel like your spirituality is based on your amount of time you spend serving, let me just tell you, we are not about using and abusing people. We believe everybody should be serving, but at a healthy rate. Now, what's a healthy rate for you? That might look different than it does for some other people. I get that. But find that spot for you and get involved. But this is not just about serving and serving till you're so burned out that you got nothing left to give. There's got to be the give and take. You've got to be filled up and you've got to give out. Both of those have to be in place. If we just take in, that's not good. That's the Dead Sea, right? Just takes in, never lets out, everything's dead. Not a good situation. If we only give out, but we're never taking in, we're going to run out. And we're going to become empty and we'll have nothing left to give. I've seen those times in my life. And here's what happens. I start to become snarky with people. Have you had that in you? And maybe you're not usually like that. You're like, why did I just say that? And if you really spend some time evaluating, it's because you're running at a pace that is unsustainable. And you feel like everything's a demand upon you. Everybody's taking. You're just giving, giving, giving. And you got nothing left to give. You pull back. Take some time with just you and the Lord. Fill back in with whatever way that works for you to do that. And then, yes, serve. But in a healthy way, okay? Just hear me on that. I don't want to send the message. You just got to keep doing more and more and more. That's not healthy. But yes, we all should be doing something with the gift and ability and time that God has given us. That's such an important. So what might be a goal that you might have in this area of serve? So my heart for us this year at Davisville, and we've got some initiatives where we want to move forward. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be sharing those with you at our all-together service at the end of January. So the last Sunday in January, we're all going to be together, celebrate baptisms. We're going to share some of these initiatives with you. We're excited to do that. So we have some ideas as a church, but I'm convinced that we don't move forward as a church unless we're moving forward as individuals in our own time with Jesus and in what he has for us. And as we come together in that, some amazing, amazing things can happen. And that's my heart for 2023. So let's make spirit-directed, personal, specific, and measurable goals in our journey to fully follow Jesus in the coming year. Let's pray together. I want to give you just a moment just to let some of this filter through. You're not probably going to come up with end products here. But just would you just start by asking God, Let's start with the Spirit-directed. God, would you reveal to me what you want for me in this year? Some things you want me to pursue? Just ask that question and then just be quiet for a little bit and just kind of pay attention to what God's saying to you or is going through your mind, or even areas to pursue or look into further. Again, not final answers here, but just let's at least ask the question. And now I want to challenge you that you wouldn't just let this sit, that you would take what we were doing and have done this morning, and that you would take it forward and continue this week to think through, to go before God, to regularly go into his word and let that be your guide. Remember, our goal should always match up with what God has revealed of what he wants for us. And let that begin to be a process whereby you say, God, I'm beginning to see the target. I'm beginning to see where it is that you want me to go, where you want me to invest my energies, what you want me to shoot at. And Lord, help me to hit that target for your honor and for your glory. Because that's why I'm here. You have saved us. You have reached down from heaven. And Jesus, you came down from heaven to give your life to make a way for us to be forgiven. May that love motivate us to pursue you on a daily basis and to make strides forward in our relationship with you and our influence on other people for your sake in this coming year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.